Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Good to be back with you. Looking forward to discussing Tesla's earnings call and shareholder letter in a little bit here. And we'll also have the earnings call later today. If you are joining live, great to see you here. If you're joining afterward, you'll see timestamps down below when the actual earnings call is released, or sorry, when the shareholder letter is released. And then the earnings call, there will be a separate link to that down in the description. We'll go through, take live notes on that, and discuss that afterwards as usual. So looking forward to spending some time together today talking about Tesla and getting the update from the earnings call. I think going into it, I don't have any super high expectations. I think right now, as we've been saying for quite a few quarters, all the story is on autonomy. I think we've seen really consistent and nice progress with the robotaxi service in Austin and in the Bay Area. Obviously, Tesla just doing some unsupervised rides with actual passengers outside of Tesla in the recent few days. It's really nice to see that milestone. I'm sure Tesla wanted to get that in before the earnings call if they could, which will be nice. I'm sure they'll talk a little bit more about that today. And hopefully we continue to see that as a step towards further progress as we head through 2026, which could shape up to be, I don't know, maybe one of the maybe the most exciting year in Tesla's history. It's going to be tough to compete with sort of the Model 3 era and the ramp of really volume electric vehicles at scale, volume affordable electric vehicles at scale. But if they can bring autonomy in that same way, I think it'll be a contender for sure. So anyway, a lot to talk about later on today, but just starting off, since we haven't had a chance to talk about deliveries yet, in the fourth quarter, Tesla delivered about 418,000 vehicles on 434,000 vehicles produced. That put the total year deliveries at just over 1.6 million. That was down, I believe, about 9% year over year. To be expected, though, as we had seen sort of the build throughout the year in terms of the quarter over quarter changes, or rather year over year changes for each quarter as we progress through the year. So not anything too shocking there. I think deliveries were pretty close to consensus. At any rate, though, I think we all understand that right now these are a little bit superfluous to what's actually going on with the stock and with the company, which really the focus is autonomy, like we just mentioned there. As we head into market close today, Tesla up, three quarters of a percent. I was actually last night looking back at the last earnings call just to do a little bit of preparation for today. And I think we were at $437 when I kicked off that video. So really, not a lot of movement in the last quarter, although paired with some of the usual volatility that we know and sometimes love in Tesla. We'll see if we get some of that today with the earnings report. But again, I think for most investors going into this, we're going to be curious how gross margins are holding up and things like that. But probably the most important information today is any discussion around autonomy, any discussion around Optimus that we might hear on the earnings call a little bit later today. So as we head into market close, that'll be in about 7 minutes. Last quarter, Tesla released that really close after, maybe a couple minutes after market close, with the shareholder deck. So we'll keep an eye on this. We'll be refreshing. I've also got their third quarter deck pulled up here, so we can just change the link there. That's usually the fastest way to access it that I've found reliably. So, but I do appreciate if you guys can let me know if you are seeing it released. Also, sometimes we get a hint when there's some strong after-hours movement, that usually signals that the report is out. So we'll be keeping an eye on all of those things over the next few minutes. Just real quick, let's flip over to Excel and we can do a little preparation for what we'll discuss after we get some of those financial numbers a little bit later today. So here's where we'll be. So we've got our historicals over there on the left. We'll fill in the actuals here in the middle. And then we've got the analyst consensus over on the right. Tesla's actually now publishing the analyst consensus, which is nice. We used to have to kind of rely on people to post it on social media, which seems a little bit pointless to release it to a select few and then have those select few reliably post it on X or something like that. So if you're ever curious about that, they are now posting it just alongside these other quarterly disclosure items. So you can go in there, see for deliveries, see for earnings. So that's just what's going into the spreadsheet. Again, analyst consensus that helps shape perception of the stock and perception of the quarterly performance. So we may say Tesla beat or missed certain estimates. Doesn't mean the company is great or bad, for each of those situations. Just framing it in the context of what analysts at large are expecting, which is probably a good proxy for generally what investors are looking for around that range. Again, just isolated to this quarter though, which is just a small part of Tesla's overall story. So just framing all of that context, which I know you guys have heard from me before. But if you're ever curious and you want to go in there, you can kind of see each quarter and you can see total deliveries, you know, and things like that for the entire year of 2026. I don't know if Tesla would publish that every quarter. I think that they do, though, in terms of that annual forecast. So right now you can see analyst expectations are for deliveries to increase in 2026, you know, roughly 5-10%, something in that range. Nothing huge. We will have to be dealing with, as we're dealing with in this fourth quarter, the impact of the federal EV tax credit in the United States going away. So that was something that would have hurt Tesla in the fourth quarter and obviously pulled some demand forward into the third quarter. I believe, though, it just had to be orders placed by September 30th and you could actually take delivery in the fourth quarter. So there's still going to be some of that bump, but that's only for people that, you know, took the time to realize that and also trust that that was the case. So I think that, you know, maybe that played out for the first couple of weeks in the fourth quarter, but probably not anything meaningful after that. So I think the majority of the quarter was without that tax credit. And then I think to see Tesla still put up, you know, 420,000 deliveries roughly, still a pretty good number in that context, especially when you have that pull forward factor in Q3. So interesting, though, to see the street still kind of expecting an increase as we head in, you know, or I guess now continue through 2026, you know, on the full year deliveries. So again, though, I think a secondary element to just the progress that Tesla makes this year around autonomy and around Optimus. Okay, so back over to Excel, you can kind of see what analysts are expecting here. Roughly $24.5 billion in total revenue. Obviously, that would be down quarter over quarter. That's in line with the deliveries, obviously down about 16% both year over year and quarter over quarter. Just talked about some of the context there with the tax credit. So analysts expecting delivery or total revenue to be down accordingly, which makes a lot of sense. Similar things on the more bottom line numbers, total gross profit down to $4.1 billion from $5 billion. Although, interestingly, pretty close to flat year over year. I think probably seeing some improvements in some of the other business lines as we have been seeing the last few quarters. And then looks like total gross margin, they're still expecting that to be down a little bit quarter over quarter, which I think makes sense in conjunction with the EV tax credit. And also when you have lower volume, you're getting less economies of scale from that lower volume. So it's reasonable to expect a lower gross margin. But this is one of those things that analysts are always guessing at, right? So it really depends on a lot of different factors, including mix, foreign exchange, all sorts of things that go into that. So we'll see, you know, what Tesla does. That'll be one of the more interesting lines to look at, is really that automotive gross margin excluding regulatory credits, which some people expect those to go to zero for some reason. This is not a line that has the federal EV tax credit. That's sort of a consumer-facing tax credit. Still affects demand and sales and things like that. But that is not where the impact of that is, you know, hitting Tesla's books. That's just top-line revenue. Then these regulatory credits, which are still subject to regulations changing and things like that, but they're not just going to immediately go to zero, even though there have been some articles out there that have suggested that over the last few months. So at any rate, it'll be interesting to see that, and we'll keep a close eye on auto gross margin X credits like we always do. Operating margin, another one that'll be interesting, but really depends on where this total gross margin comes in at. And then we'll see, you know, the impact of research and development. As we've talked about the last few quarters, that's been increasing. I never really mind seeing that increase for Tesla, because that's something that historically Tesla's gotten a really good return on investment for R&D spending. Pretty similar for SG&A. That can depend, and there can be some spikes, you know, between quarters. Like you can see Q4 last year was higher than Q1 last year. Or I guess, well, yeah, last year at this point, but Q1 2025. So you can see a little bit more volatility in that line. I think R&D is generally a little bit smoother. So I'd expect that to be maybe, I don't know, 1.7, just kind of off the top of my head looking at the trends there. But we'll see. And then SG&A, probably still increasing. I don't think there was any reason particularly in this quarter that we'd expect that to decline. But it'll be interesting to see where SG&A falls as well. Similar to R&D, I don't really mind seeing that spending increase. You know, Tesla is continuing to grow their global footprint, you know, year over year and quarter over quarter. And I think that will consistently be happening, probably for the rest of Tesla's history, as, you know, at least the foreseeable future. So nothing too crazy there. And then obviously that combines up to your operating expenses with some of this Bitcoin impairment and restructuring and other stuff like that. There's a couple lines that get impacted on that now, which make it a little bit confusing to see all the impacts of, but we've got it in the sheet, so we can see how that all comes out. But really, the operating income will be subject to that gross margin, which is obviously subject to the revenue. And we'll just see kind of how that comes in. But I wouldn't think that the estimates would be too far off here for the street. I don't know, maybe a little bit low just looking at that kind of off the top of my head there. But we'll see. And then obviously that'll all flow through down to GAAP net income, earnings per share. Earnings per share expectation, 44 cents non-GAAP, and then including stock-based compensation to get to your GAAP number, that gets you down to 30 cents, which would be a pretty significant drop year over year. Obviously, we talked about at the very beginning here, deliveries down 16% year over year, so no major surprise there. That's, again, what the street's already expecting and should be factoring in, but that will lower the price-to-earnings ratio that people are seeing, so we'll keep an eye on that. All right, we are 1 minute past, so let's make sure that the earnings report did not come out yet. Looks like a little bit of movement, but most of that was before close. So I'll just update this link and see. I don't suspect anything is out yet, though, so looks like that's correct. If you guys are seeing anything, let me know. stock closed at low of the day. Yeah, I don't read too much into that. I mean, if someone really knew something, I think that would be probably something that was a sharper change, and you may not wait until the very last minute to do that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens once the actual earnings report comes out. But whether this was up 1% or down 1%, I don't think it really means anything in terms of what the reaction will be, you know, when we go into tomorrow. And furthermore, what we go into, you know, the next quarter and the next quarter after that. Probably not a whole lot of meaning, certainly in today, and maybe even not in the after hours. All right, so catch my bearings. Sorry, I'm a little rusty on my flipping back and forth. Not that I was ever great on that, but back to the browser now. Well, that just changed my link, so I don't want to do that. All right, so what I need to do, just give me a second here. Keeps converting my link, but we'll figure that out. All right, I'm just taking a quick look at the comments here, and I appreciate you guys again tuning in. It is nice to see everybody. Someone said, where's your critique? That I've been rational in the past, but not now. Something to that effect. Look, like, I think we've talked about it many times, so it's probably not, you know, something that I'm top of mind to reiterate. Like, obviously, deliveries being down year over year is disappointing. We talked about some of the context around that. I think even with that context, it's something that, you know, is a little bit disappointing relative to what we maybe would have thought would have been, you know, deliveries in this time period a few years ago. You can pair that, though, like, you can hold... I saw something really good on X the other day that it was like, man, there's a real shortage of people that are able to hold multiple thoughts in their head at the same time these days, and I think that's so accurate, because we can also, you know, we can be a little bit disappointed in sort of, like, electric vehicle sales on their own, but as we've talked about for a long time, not even just this last year, but years going back, that's just part of the story. You would like to see that part maybe have more fundamental strength, which, you know, is something we've talked a lot about as well. But on the, at this, you know, on the other end of the coin, or whatever of, you know, whatever analogy you want to use, I think there's so much to be excited about on autonomy, which is, you know, obviously what people are investing in when they're investing in Tesla. You're not investing in just an electric vehicle business. That wouldn't carry the price to earnings multiple that we just talked about. You're really investing in that belief in, you know, the future of transportation being autonomous and electric, and Tesla really leading that future. I don't see nothing in anything that I have seen has changed that for me personally. So I, you know, remain excited about what Tesla is doing on both sides with EVs and with the product. We've seen Cybercab testing here in Chicago, which is awesome. That's where I'm at. So a lot to be excited about while still holding that thought in mind that, yeah, we all wish the EV business was better and growing, and, you know, Cybertruck deliveries were higher, and they hit the cost targets that they initially announced and things like that. All those things are true. All those things are valid criticisms. But in terms of, like, what's more important, for me, autonomy is much more important, and I don't think that's inconsistent with anything that I've ever said in the past. So I remain excited about that. And I think I've also talked about, like, when it people brought up this like $25,000 car idea from Tesla, I've always kind of said that's never really been something that has been super important to me, because I think, sorry, I'm just like trying to make sure that I don't miss anything here, just ranting. I've talked many times for a long time about how the $25,000 quote unquote car or whatever that people like really were excited for Tesla to do was not super important to me as an investor, because yeah, that grows volume, but a $25,000 car is going to have super low margins. Like that's not the future that Tesla is building towards. It'd be a great consumer product, but what's going to be a better consumer product is that same car, you know, that same cost of car that's fully autonomous, widely deployed at scale. Like that's much more important than just, hey, Tesla made a smaller Model 3 that they can sell for $5,000 less, which, you know, not to diminish it, it's just not as exciting in context of the rest of Tesla's business and what Tesla can do with their business. So point being, I think their focus has appropriately been on solving autonomy and not getting distracted or getting too far ahead on some of those other things that, you know, maybe don't fit that future quite as well, and would just burn a lot of CapEx, burn a lot of resources that, you know, Tesla may not have available to them to kind of like do something that's just a short-term win for the benefit of shareholders that are complaining about, you know, oh, the deliveries were down this year, you know. So certainly if Tesla's entire sole focus was making that number go up year over year and they didn't care about anything else, like it would be up. That's something I'm confident in. It just isn't, like, it's not their long-term goal, not their long-term vision, and we've known that for years. So I wouldn't want to see them do anything that would conflict with, you know, what they are really trying to do here. All right, someone said it's out. So again, sorry if I'm just like ranting over it. I'm trying to get this. It's not, maybe my link strategy didn't work. So hopefully it hasn't been out too long, but what? How am I still getting a bad link here? That's not it. Well, that is a real bummer. All right, we'll figure this out, guys, but bear with me. Maybe if I just like start fresh here. Gotta like clear the cache. Still no. It's broken for me as well. Clear cookies. Oh man. X post. Alright, well. Hopefully I don't have anything up here that's not okay to share. Let's see. All right, guys, again, just bear with me. I'm sorry that link isn't working. No direct link there. I mean, I guess we could go through just the X post. Rough. Yeah, I guess I'll try incognito. I don't know if that's gonna... Okay. Sometimes it's difficult to get the right windows and stuff. Ugh, yeah, still doesn't work. Man. Alright, I'm gonna open Q3 and try this direct link again. And then I'm gonna try Q4. Let's see if I can change that. Nope. Alright, well, I'm sorry, guys. Looks like the stock is up though, so apparently it's good news. Yeah, I really don't know here. I've cleared the cache. I don't really want to like go into my entire browser history to try to clear cookies. Let me go back to Excel quick so that I can just do some stuff here without worrying about what's being shown. Not that there's anything crazy in there, just, you know. All right. Yeah, bear with me. This is just going to be annoying for a second. Hopefully we can figure it out. This is definitely a new issue that I have not encountered in years of doing this. Always something fun. Trying one more thing here. Even another browser isn't working for me, so I'm not really sure here. Let me just see. Can someone like DM me a link? Emailed it? Okay, let's see. Give me a second. Michael, thank you. Hopefully this will work. A PDF. All right, so as long as this was not edited, hopefully, just closed it. All right, we should be good here in like 30 seconds. I'm just gonna need a second to make sure that this is, again, working okay with the stream. So let me try something here. Okay, guys, I think we did it. Thank you, Michael. I really appreciate that. Okay. Disaster start. All right, let's just check the stock quick. All right, looks like we're up 3%, so that's good. Again, not the most meaningful thing, but we'll just take a look here at what's going on as I get over my sheer embarrassment and refocus. All right, so let's see, 4.4 billion operating income, so that compared to 4.1, I believe, expected. Let me just double check that. Yeah, so 4.152 was the operating income. Ooh. Okay, something weird happened there. Well, that's 2025. Okay, so hot start again. But 1.4 billion for the quarter, that was versus 1.052 analyst expectations. So operating income was higher than expected. GAAP net income was 800 billion. Looks like that's a little bit lower than expected. So we'll have to go through and see kind of, you know, what line items are causing what. 1.8 billion. So it looks like there's just stockholder compensation that's probably related to something with the Elon, CEO compensation, either the new plan or the old plan in the Delaware ruling. We'll see how all of that fits in here, and we'll probably have to wait for the 10K to get, you know, a little bit more insight on that. That's just my initial guess, though. Non-GAAP net income, 1.8 billion, though. That beat analyst expectations of about 1.5 billion. So ahead of expected on the very, very bottom line there. The earnings per share number will be lower than analysts expected, so the price to earnings will be lower, rather higher in a negative way. But again, I think that's probably related to something that's more of a one-time item, so we'll see on that. Operating cash flow, almost $15 billion for the year, $3.8 billion in the fourth quarter. Free cash flow, $1.4 billion in the fourth quarter, so that was above analyst expectations of about $350 million, so good to see that. $7.5 billion increase in cash and investments, up to $44.1 billion for the year. Obviously, for the quarter, that would be a smaller increase, but still an increase on the cash balance from Q3 end. Operations began removing safety monitor from our robotaxis in Austin in January, as we had talked about. Record Q4 and full year 2025 energy storage deployments, and record vehicle delivery in Asia Pacific. All right, so let's go through some of the summary points here. 2025 marked a critical year for Tesla as we further expanded our mission and continued our transition from a hardware-centric business to a physical AI company. We laid the foundation for the future of Tesla as we further advanced FSD Supervised, launched our robotaxi service, began installing production lines for Cybercab, and fine-tuned our production-primed Optimus design while expanding our AI training infrastructure. Our approach to autonomous vehicles and humanoid robots mirrors the way we approached electric vehicles and energy storage, at the system level, where we identify the limiting factor and develop bespoke and scalable solutions to optimize for cost, functionality, efficiency, and safety. Our vertical integration has enabled us to achieve economies of scale in a profitable manner, quickly troubleshoot bottlenecks in production, and iteratively optimize our technologies more rapidly than others. In 2025, we completed the refresh of our vehicle lineup with the launch of the new Model Y, including additional variants. We believe that maintaining an optimized and efficient product portfolio with a continued focus on high-value features such as long-range, best-in-class software and autonomy is the correct strategy to win the autos market of the future. Similarly, we continue to evolve our energy offerings for commercial, utility, and retail customers as we position ourselves as a supplier of choice for clean, affordable, and rapidly deployable energy capacity ahead of expected sustained demand growth for electricity. In 2026, we will further invest in the infrastructure needed to support clean energy and transport, and autonomous robots, including the ramp of 6 new production lines across vehicle, robots, energy storage, and battery manufacturing, while further leveraging our existing factory, charging, and service center footprint to support future growth. All right, so nothing too crazy in there, nothing sticking out as anything that we sort of weren't aware of, but not surprised as this is a summary, and also summarizing, you know, full year 2025, as opposed to just a single quarter. All right, so getting into some of the numbers, you can see revenue, $24.9 billion. Again, that's higher than analyst expected by about $400 million, roughly in that ballpark. I don't think we get an analyst expectation just for auto revenue, but I can take a quick look. Actually, it looks like we do. So that was 17.3. So that also beat by about $400 million. Energy and services and other were probably right about on then. So 3.8 and 3.3. So those are actually shockingly close. I think only about $7 million off for each of them, $5 to $7 million. So basically perfect estimates there for the analysts, but short on the automotive revenue, which is then boosting total revenue above expectations. Total gross profit well above expectations, about $5 billion there, and that's what we had talked about as that 4.152, so about an $850 million beat in terms of actual gross margin dollars, which is great. Obviously, we'll have to see where that came from, but strong start at the top to beat on automotive revenue, to beat on gross profit dollars, and then also significantly on margin. You can see analysts were expecting this to drop to 17%, and it actually increased significantly to 20%. And I think a lot of that is actually probably coming from auto, which is really, really nice to see. But again, we'll learn more about that as we go through. Operating expenses, $3.6 billion. That compared to analyst expectations of $3.1 billion. We'll see, you know, how that shook out. As I said, I think prior, I wouldn't be surprised if that number came in a little bit higher, because generally you don't see R&D and SG&A drop, you know, just because like total deliveries dropped. You wouldn't see, certainly R&D wouldn't be related to any drop there. SG&A maybe, but probably not adapting that quickly. So seemed like the expectations there were maybe a little bit low, but then we'll see, you know, how this other, all these other factors kind of influence things as well. At the end of the day though, a 5.7% increase, 5.7% operating margin versus the 4.3% that analysts had expected. So really nice to see that. Adjusted EBITDA, $4.1 billion. I don't think we get an analyst estimate on that one, but nice to see that increasing in terms of the EBITDA margin quarter over quarter. And then net income, so we talked about those two at the top, but obviously non-GAAP net income coming in pretty significantly ahead, about $400 million ahead of analyst expectations. 50 cents non-GAAP, that's above the 44 cent non-GAAP expectation. That's really what people are going to look at first to figure out if it's a beat or not. Obviously, we need to still figure out why the GAAP EPS is lower. That would be from stock-based compensation, though, so I'm guessing that's, again, something related to Elon's compensation plan, which is probably just a matter of not properly forecasting it. It probably mixed out in the, you know, median forecast, as maybe some people included that, maybe some people didn't, which is why it's always important to understand kind of the waterfall of how this all comes through, because some of those misses are meaningful, some of them are not. At any rate, analysts had expected 30 cents there, that's 24 cents. And again, that's down from 60 cents last year. So that will drop earnings per share and increase price to earnings ratio as that, you know, calculation gets updated. Cash flow we talked about. CapEx though, $2.4 billion, so slight increase quarter over quarter. No surprise there. I think they said specifically on the last call that that is going to continue to increase. Nice to see the free cash flow again, well above expectations. And you can see again, cash increasing looks like at the end of the day about $2.5 billion cash and cash equivalent increase from end of Q3. All right, and then this is just a total annual year recap, so you can see how some of these numbers have changed year over year, some of what we were talking about a little bit prior to the earnings report coming out. Just seeing, you know, total automotive revenue deliveries down year over year. Obviously, if we could write it and just make something happen, we wouldn't write it this way, but there's still so much else with the business that I think is worth being excited about, and the context makes those numbers, I don't want to say like tolerable, but understandable as you shift the priority from, you know, really trying to maximize vehicle sales and deliveries in this current context to really focusing on autonomy and then building for that autonomy future with a vehicle like the Cybercab that, you know, is entirely dependent on that being successful versus continuing to do vehicles in sort of like a Model 3 or Model Y category really intended for consumer sale to eventually convert to autonomy, but not like purpose-built specifically and solely for that type of autonomous future. So you call that an excuse if you want. To me, it's not. It is just very important context to understand, but everyone's, you know, obviously free to make their own interpretation of any number that they want and make investments, you know, based on those interpretations. And that's how it should be for sure. Even with, though, automotive revenue down 10% year over year, total revenue down only 3% because of the success largely of the energy business, and then also a little bit with services and other, which we'll take a closer look at here in a second, particularly the margins I'm curious about there for this quarter on those business lines. The rest, I don't think we probably need to go through here at the moment. Obviously, this is just a summation of everything that we've been talking about over the last four quarters. Here we can see quarter delivery numbers. So they've added an interesting new line here, which is fun to see. Cumulative deliveries all time. So up to 8.9 million now. Active FSD subscriptions. All right. So this is the first time this has ever been included in the earnings report. And really, really cool to see. Let's see what the footnote here says. In accordance with our 2025 CEO Performance Award, metric includes both upfront payment and monthly subscriptions and excludes free trials. So this is vehicles that have either paid for FSD as, you know, outright purchase or are paying for a subscription. It does not include any free trials, which is great. Obviously, that shouldn't be included in a number like this. So this is fascinating. I wish we had even more history on this. Maybe... probably not. I was trying to think if maybe we'd get more history in the 10K or something like that. But this is probably the extent of how far that'll go back. Super interesting, though, to see that up 38% year over year, and especially in the context of cumulative deliveries being up 22% year over year. So you can see that that means that sort of the penetration rate, the adoption rate among vehicles that exist is increasing in 2025. And this is perfect context for some of these other numbers that we had talked about here. Like, sure, automotive revenue down 10%, but you can see fundamentally that more people are purchasing, subscribing to FSD as a percent of total vehicles outstanding, not even just, oh, we added more vehicles and we have the same, whatever, 12% take rate, whatever this, you know, calculates out to. And that just continued. So obviously the active subscriptions increased too as vehicle deliveries increased. Not the case. It's actually even a larger percent of these, you know, vehicles that have been added to the fleet this year are adopting FSD, are paying either for that upfront, which is, you know, extremely high margin for Tesla, or are paying for that on subscription, also extremely high margin for Tesla. Like, would you rather have a $25,000 car that you have to sell, I don't know, five million of per year, and you're making a 5 to 10% gross margin on, I don't know, maybe a 15% gross margin on that, and maybe like a 2% net margin, something like that. Like, it's excruciatingly difficult to eke out just like a very, very small margin versus when we talk about this FSD business, not that it's not extremely difficult, but because that margin situation is so different, like the value of that type of a business is so much higher than the value of just trying to sell a widget and make like one penny per dollar on that widget. So again, that's the future that I think people are investing in Tesla, and it's really nice to see these metrics being reported and also seeing the metrics support that progress that we have been witnessing. You know, if you are a FSD subscriber or owner, just night and day performance from where FSD was, you know, a year ago, and certainly 2 years ago, if you want to even go back, like, a whole lifetime, 2 years ago. But think about where that's going to be in a year, where that's going to be in 2 years. That's the future that Tesla is building for and trying to, you know, be ready for, versus just focusing on, like, 2025 vehicle deliveries has to be up. Like, that's, that would be a mistake to make that the number one priority. If we could do both, yeah, that would be awesome. It's just not the, not the priority for the business. And, you know, for those reasons that I just walked through are why it shouldn't necessarily be as compared to some of these other things. So, perfect. I love that this metric is being reported. Super exciting to see that. All right. Operating vehicle count. What is that? Total end of quarter operating lease. That might be a new number too. I'd have to go back. I don't remember seeing that number before, but I'm probably just blanking on it. See if I still have the Q3 one up here anywhere. I don't think I do. Okay. Anyway, global vehicle delivery supply obviously increased as production, as we had talked about prior to the call or prior to the letter, as that went to, you know, it was 20,000 more vehicles produced than delivered. That's going to obviously increase your vehicle inventory in terms of days of supply, especially when a day of supply itself becomes a smaller number because you're dividing it by less sales of vehicles in that quarter, which you can see how that's calculated down here in footnote 4 if you're curious, but we've talked about that before. Storage deployed, that is up 29% year over year. So Q4 versus Q4 is just the comparison there. And then supercharger stations continue to see nice growth there, which is really nice to see. A lot of people obviously were critical of some of the restructuring on the supercharger team. If you went and just looked at the numbers, it would be, I don't want to diminish those people. Like, obviously it's people that were working super hard on this project and things like that. But if you were just looking at the numbers, you wouldn't notice that there was some major hiccup or something like that. Like, Tesla has successfully restructured in that part of the business, despite a lot of criticism around that at the time. All right, operational summary. So these things I think we've all talked about. Just a reiteration there of the FSD subscriptions. I'm not sure why that's in both of those spots. I'll figure that out later. Maybe I just mixed myself up here. All right, so getting into some of these other notes, something we usually do. Okay. Oh. Well, there we go. Maybe that's some of the SBC stuff. All right, Tesla entered into an agreement to invest approximately $2 billion to acquire shares of the Series E preferred stock of XAI as part of the publicly disclosed financing round. All right. Interesting. So obviously there was the shareholder vote. It was, I think, in terms of the shares that didn't abstain, people were in favor, but if you included the abstentions, then I think like the percentages shifted so that it was not in favor. But again, of the people that actually shared their opinion on that, those people were in favor of this vote is my recollection. So interesting to see that. We'll come back to that. I do want to see the outlook section here, though, because I think recent quarters we've talked about, we should probably look at that first. So I'm trying to remember that and do that here. For product, Tesla says we continue to evolve and augment our product lineup with a focus on cost, scale, and future monetization opportunities via services powered by our AI software. We remain focused on growing our sales volumes through a differentiated and efficiently managed product portfolio, which includes leveraging and optimizing our existing production capacity before building new factories and production lines. Cybercab, Tesla Semi, and Megapack 3 are on schedule for volume production starting in 2026. First generation production lines for Optimus are being installed in anticipation of volume production. All right, so I don't think anything, you know, crazy new there. Cybercab, Semi, Megapack 3, all products that we're aware of. I'm just trying to like second guess myself. I was like, we definitely knew about Megapack 3, right? That's one of the downfalls of not doing this every single day anymore. Not just immediately knowing those types of details, but as best I can remember, there's nothing new there, nothing unexpected. First generation and production lines for Optimus, I'm sure we'll hear a little bit more about that on the earnings call. For volume, focused on maximum capacity utilization at our factories, deliveries and deployments will be impacted by aggregate demand, etc. All right, cash, I think that's probably the same line that we've seen in there past quarters. And then profit, while we continue to execute on innovations to reduce the cost of manufacturing and operations, over time we expect our hardware-related profits to be accompanied by an acceleration of AI software and fleet-based profits. All right, so I think all stuff that, you know, we've kind of known about there, nothing too crazy in that outlook section. We'll come back to photos and charts, although lovely, I do want to see some of this other information first. All right, so manufacturing and hardware. Let me try to get back to that Q3. Close that window. Q3 one, so we can compare this chart. Formatting wise, it looks at least a little different. All right, so this is Q3. Flip back to Q4 here. Okay, so they've added energy generation and storage. They've added robotics down there. Fun to see. No capacity number, but at least we know it's in California for the time being. I would think that that would eventually be in Austin, Giga Texas. Trying to remember past comments that have been made around that. I think initially, though, as Tesla has talked about in the past, like, although I think they said this with Austin too, like when you're starting off with the initial version of the product, you obviously want it where your engineering and design talent is most heavily located to be able to troubleshoot and iterate on that. So I think California makes sense. I think Texas would probably also make sense. Maybe Tesla will share a little bit more on that. We'll see. At any rate, Model 3 and Model Y in California, 550. Ew, that's not what I wanted. That's my email. Close that. Let's see. I'm trying to get back here. So 100K there. 550, 100. Nope. Too many windows open. 950 from Shanghai, so that's still the same. 375. 375 in Berlin, that's still the same. 250. 250, 125, 125. All right, and then CyberCab was in construction in Texas and is now in tooling in Texas. So construction to tooling is the change there. And then Tesla Semi also going from construction in Nevada to tooling in Nevada. So I think both positive developments. Hard to really tell exactly what that means, though, in terms of the just in terms of, you know, how much that has progressed and then what the timing from here would be. I think probably not super insightful for us. And then Roadster design development, I think that's still the same there, still TBD. Roadster, the long lost child. Is that an expression? I don't know. I don't know if that's an expression. Energy generation and storage. All right, so this one's new, so we don't have to flip back there. But 40 gigawatt hours out of Lathrop in California, 40 gigawatt hours out of Shanghai for both megapacks. Texas under construction, something that we knew about there. Since they didn't list this, hopefully that means, well, we'll see. I think they've said before that that should get to 40 and then maybe, you know, further capacity beyond that, but I don't think it's anything like major beyond that. Maybe another 10 gigawatt hours is sort of my recollection, but we'll see on that. And then Powerwall greater than 6 gigawatt hours from Nevada. And then we talked about Optimus. So let's look through the points here. All right, so for automotive, while automotive sales declined sequentially, gross margin, even when excluding the impact of regulatory credits, improved. All right, so that's great to see. One of the things we talked about and we'll look at when we get into the Excel portion. The Asia-Pacific region continued to show strength across multiple markets and set a record for deliveries in the quarter. That's great. We continued the rollout of Model Y variants across markets in Q4, including the standard and performance versions. Preparations continue in North America for the production ramps of Tesla Semi and CyberCab, both commencing in the first half of 2026. So great to see that. That gives us a lot more context around some of these numbers. Some of these updates, and the production of the next generation Roadster. So specifically, half one 2026 for Tesla Semi and CyberCab, and then also updates on Roadster. No specific timeline there. I do think Elon said, though, at the shareholder meeting that they were supposed to potentially do an unveiling in 2026. I don't know if it was more specific than that. Obviously, though, grain of salt, given what we've seen with Roadster in the past. All right, energy generation and storage. We achieved our highest quarterly energy storage deployments driven by record Megapack deployments. Total gross profit rose both sequentially and year over year to a record $1.1 billion, making the fifth consecutive record quarter, marking the fifth consecutive record quarter, rather. We plan to begin Megapack 3 and Megablock production at Megafactory Houston in 2026. In 2025, our global Powerwall network supported more than 89,000 virtual power plant events across over 1 million installed units, allowing homeowners to save over $1 billion in electricity bills as virtual power plant participation continues to scale rapidly. So all awesome updates there. Again, we'll see what the margin shook out to be for the quarter when we get into Excel, but really awesome to see that gross profit rose. Although with revenue rising, that makes sense. I don't know if they say gross margin percentage, but we'll look at that. Robotics. We made further progress on the Optimus program in 2025. In Q1 of this year, we plan to unveil the Gen 3 version of Optimus. All right. Well, we've only got, 10 weeks left? 9 weeks left in the quarter? So that's awesome. Coming very soon. Optimus 3 has been teased for a long time. Which will include major upgrades from version 2.5, including our latest hand design. The Gen 3 is our first design meant for mass production. Preparations are underway for the first production line, including supply chain readiness, with startup production planned before the end of 2026 and eventual planned capacity of 1 million robots per year. All right, so super exciting updates there on Optimus. I'm sure they'll talk a little bit more about that on the call, but really awesome to see that, both the unveiling this quarter and then startup production planned before the end of this year. For the latter, and maybe even a little bit for the former, it's an estimate, right? Like, that's a projection. Things can change in the future. We all know that very well with Tesla. So, but still exciting that that is at least currently the plan. All right, supporting infrastructure. Let's see. I don't think that that chart existed before. So we got another new chart in here. Actually, quite a few updates in this earnings report. It's kind of fun. I didn't expect that to be that way. All right, installed annual capacity. So interesting. So they're breaking out now a lot of their other facilities. I really like this update. You know, first reaction. So Texas, Cortex 1, greater than 100,000 H100Es, status in production. Cortex 2 under construction at Texas, no capacity listed there. I don't know if Tesla's given a figure on that in the past. Battery manufacturing LFP in Nevada, 7 gigawatt hours capacity, is in early ramp. So I think Tesla's talked a little bit about that, but not at great length. 4680, interesting. This, I think, the first time we've gotten something as specific as this, but 40 gigawatt hours in production capacity doesn't mean it's fully utilized or fully at, you know, max production rate right now. But 40 gigawatt hours there, 4680s. Lithium refining, which Tesla has been posting a lot about over the last quarter as that gets ready. As you can see here, the early ramp, 30 gigawatt hours capacity there. Obviously, that's just I would assume that's just the lithium portion, 30 gigawatt hours worth of lithium supply. And then cathode materials, 10 gigawatt hours there, early ramp. Cathode takes a really long time to ramp, so I don't know how long that'll be for Tesla. But really nice to see Tesla breaking it out this way. Hopefully something that we can kind of continue to see grow over the years. And also just, you know, a good highlight that Tesla's business is a lot of things. It's not just the, you know, the vehicle delivery line. Obviously, that's a critical line, but there is so much more that goes into that, even if it is these things that are supporting that part of the business. All right, so let's read some of these updates here. AI training compute. We are currently building Cortex 2 at Gigafactory Texas to further increase our AI training compute capacity. In the first half of 26, we plan to more than double the size of on-site compute in Texas in terms of H100 equivalents. So that could be from Cortex 1 increasing and also from Cortex 2 here. We aim to maximize capital efficiency by scaling training compute judiciously. Don't know why I have trouble with that word. Including when the training backlog gets too long or in anticipation of greater demand from our engineers to support our AI-related offerings. All right, so pretty much reiterating what Tesla said before on that. For batteries, our lithium refinery commenced pilot production and is the first spodumene to lithium hydroxide refinery in North America, leveraging a simpler, cheaper, and more environmentally friendly process. This refinery enables us to domestically produce critical minerals in support of energy storage, battery manufacturing, and ultimately for EV growth. we began to produce battery packs for certain Model Ys with our 4680 cells, unlocking an additional vector of supply to help navigate increasingly complex supply chain challenges caused by trade barriers and tariff risks. We now produce dry electrode for 4680 cells with both anode and cathode made in Austin. We expect both domestic cathode material in Texas and LFP lines in Nevada to begin production in 2026. All right, so that's interesting for the cathode piece. Apparently, Tesla is making really good progress on that if they're expecting that to begin this year. So really nice to see that as well. Other supporting infrastructure. We continue to efficiently utilize our existing physical footprint in North America with targeted augmentation to support the rollout of Robotaxi, while in the short term, operational work streams such as charging, cleaning, and maintenance can be managed through our existing charging network, service centers, and sales and delivery locations. We will have to add more capacity as the service expands. We added over 3,800 net new supercharging stalls, growing the network 19% year over year. And then just quickly looking at that chart, since we hadn't taken a look at that, this is just reiterating what they had said here, expecting to more than double their compute on site there. So you can see where that would be. And it looks like they're expecting that, yeah, in the first half of the year. So very sharp increase there over the next few months. It's just exciting, you know? It's just exciting where FSD has come and where it's going. It's just so good now, and I don't know. There's just still so much potential. They've talked about all these different verticals where they feel like there's still opportunities to improve. I think they probably still feel that way and recognize that. You know, Elon has talked before about the sentience element of it and how that's, you know, going to feel that way very soon. It's certainly getting there. It's certainly getting there. All right, AI software. So, well, let's just take a quick look at these charts first. All right, FSD miles on V12 and beyond. So Tesla's actually started publishing that on that that FSD page, I believe. I haven't looked at that in a minute, but as far as I know, that's still updating. So no major surprise in here. And of course, this is at year end, so that page should have a higher number now. I'm not going to go searching for that at the moment, but we can find that and track that down, talk about that. Cumulative miles driven. Okay, so optimizing Tesla Silicon. So this is probably AI5. So I think Tesla's posted this before, or maybe Elon has just talked about these metrics. I don't know. I feel like I've seen this graphic before, but maybe not. Targeting step function improvement for a next-gen chip. So it talks about just different elements that they're going to be improving upon, and then all of that equivalent, reaching an equivalent of about 50 times total improvement over AI4. Obviously, that depends on how you're quantifying that. Point being, though, dramatic improvements in the AI5 chip and AI6 here. I already see it's being talked about, so we'll talk about that too. But for AI software, we continue to enhance FSD supervised via our end-to-end foundation model trained on both customer and Robotaxi real-world data with our latest version, V14. FSD supervised increasingly provides safety and convenience functionality that can relieve drivers of many tedious and potentially dangerous aspects of road travel, including giving access to personal transport for those who otherwise have difficulty driving. V14 offers unparalleled driver assistance to safely drive to the customer's destination, find a free parking spot, and park at that location. Our global fleet can collect the equivalent of over 500 years of continuous driving data per day, allowing us to safely deploy and scale capabilities that can handle the long and fat tail of corner cases across the diverse geographies and driving environments. Just looking at this footnote down here, 500 years of continuous driving data per day, calculated based on continuous hours of driving at an average of 30 miles per hour. AI inference compute. Development of our in-house custom-designed AI5 and AI6 inference chips for autonomy progressed during the quarter, with production planned for 2027 and 2028, respectively. Okay, I don't know that we've gotten that as specifically before, particularly the 2028. I think Elon's talked about it, but maybe not in such specific terms. But interesting to see how quickly that change is happening. We are targeting a 50 times improvement in performance for AI5 relative to AI4, thanks to 10 times raw compute, 9 times memory capacity, and 5 times hardened block quantization and softmax function, the latter enabling efficient low precision computing without sacrificing model accuracy. If you're into that sort of thing, I think Elon has shared a couple of posts specifically about that and, you know, his thoughts and Tesla's thoughts on that in a couple of X posts. automotive and other software. The Robotaxi iOS app is no longer has a waitlist in the areas we serve. Our vehicles keep getting better with our over-the-air updates, including Grok, which now supports navigation commands, allowing users to find, add, and edit navigation destinations hands-free. Tesla Photo Booth, which enables users to take photos in their car and download or share via the Tesla mobile app. Supercharger site maps, which display supercharger layouts, nearby businesses, and live availability details. Automatic HOV lanes, lane routing based on interior camera occupancy detection. That's pretty cool. I wasn't aware of that previously. And phone left behind chime and SpaceX ISS docking simulator game. All right. And then I think the last, other than these other updates, services, Robotaxi. We began testing driverless robotaxis in Austin in December and began removing the safety monitor from our customer rides in January on a limited basis, which will unlock further expansion of our robotaxi fleet and coverage of the Austin metro area. Our Bay Area ride hailing service began serving the San Jose airport in October. Actually got picked up there. It was pretty cool. With plans to expand to other major airports in the Bay Area upon receiving required permitting. Okay, so that's cool. I don't think anything that we didn't know there, though. We launched FSD Supervised in South Korea, where customers drove over 1 million kilometers using the software in just 1 month. We continued to pursue regulatory approval in China and Europe. We began offering ride-along experiences to customers, to consumers in Italy, Germany, France, and Switzerland. Monthly subscriptions continued to grow sequentially and more than doubled in 2025. Starting this quarter, we are transitioning access to FSD to monthly subscriptions only, as we begin to sunset the upfront payment option. We didn't talk about that earlier. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have seen that. It's something that I've, said for a long time. Like, I don't think Elon really likes selling FSD because as like a purchase option, because he thinks it's undervalued, right? Like, he thinks, $8,000 is the current price. If Tesla achieves what they want with autonomy, like for the life of the vehicle, that is like the utilization that allows for is worth a lot more than $8,000. Elon, I think, realizes that, and I think he doesn't want to sell it for something, less than it's worth. So I'm not surprised by that. There's also the sort of like the tie-in of, according to the new compensation plan, Elon, I think he needs to get to 1 million, maybe it's 10 million. I think it's 10 million, sort of like paying subscriptions. It did look like, though, they are counting a purchase in that as well, just based on that little footnote before. So maybe that's just like fine print that people haven't realized or weren't given access to in terms of like that structure of the plan. But it's from that footnote to me, it read like a payment would count or an upfront purchase would count in that number as well. So sort of, we can try to double check that, but that's just my assumption, which would make the decision potentially unrelated to, that compensation plan, although I'm sure it still influences in terms of, which one's easier to get or something like that. All right. Automotive services, another gross profit of approximately $300 million was partly driven by part sales and supercharging. We now offer Tesla insurance in Florida as we continue to expand our insurance products to new states. In certain states, customers receive a discount on their insurance premiums when using FSD Supervised. I'm sure a lot of you saw that with Lemonade, I think in Arizona. The more you drive with FSD Supervised enabled, the bigger the discount on your insurance premium is, helping in certain cases to completely offset the monthly subscription cost for FSD. That's something that we talked a lot about around the time that Tesla was launching Tesla insurance, just how you really need to look at like sort of the total cost of ownership all in and look at what that payment is. And if you can bring that insurance down, which is such a big part of that payment for a lot of people, if you're able to bring that down through autonomy and safety features and just having safer vehicles in general, the lower you get that, like the more margin that's left over for some of these other things, which is obviously great for the business. All right. So the XAI piece, I think we read that first paragraph there. In the context of this investment agreement, though, as part of Tesla's broader strategy under Master Plan Part 4, Tesla and XAI also entered into a framework agreement in connection with the investment. Among other things, the framework agreement builds upon the existing relationship between Tesla and XAI by providing a framework for for evaluating potential AI collaborations between the companies. Together, the investment and the related framework agreement are intended to enhance Tesla's ability to develop and deploy AI products and services into the physical world at scale. This investment is subject to customary regulatory conditions with the expectation to close in Q1 2026. So since it has not fully closed, I don't think that would be marked anywhere on the balance sheet yet, or, you know, anywhere else on the financial reporting here. Okay, and then outlook we've looked at. All right, finally, that was a long deck. We got to make sure that I get wrapped up here in time for the earnings call. Okay, Model Y, fantastic. Model 3, fantastic. FSD supervised, fantastic. Driverless robo-taxi testing in Austin. Cybercab, so Tesla had shared that on X previously. All right, new semi. So those of you that follow this closely may have seen some photos of this or some videos of this circulating around, but looks like Tesla's updated the design to be a little bit more congruent with the Model Y design with the light bar up front there. This is the first like actual professional photo that I think we have seen of it. So interesting to see that. I think it looks nice. I thought it looked nice before. I think it still looks nice. But obviously anytime you see these in person, I think it, you know, feels a little bit different. So we'll look forward to experiencing that. But yeah, I think it looks great. Mega charger network plans for 2026, a couple in Chicago there. Awesome. And a lot of what you would expect, Texas, California, and then some other major shipping hubs. That's kind of what it looks like. It's fun. It's like going back to the early days of the supercharger network, right? Like you get these high density spots at first, and then those will continue to expand while also broader coverage as well. 9 million vehicle produced at Giga Shanghai. I think that was shared on X as well. 6 million Thrive unit. I believe that was also shared. All right, it looks like we got one more slide in there. And then we can get over to looking at some of the numbers a little bit more closely. We'll have to kind of go through that pretty quickly, but that's all right. All right, so revenue, looking at year over year here. So total quarterly revenue decreased 3% year over year. All right, so this is for Q4 year over year. So for Q4, there was a decrease in vehicle deliveries from last year's Q4. Lower regulatory credit revenue, we'll take a look at what that was. Growth in energy, this is offset some by growth in energy storage and generation. Growth in services and other, positive foreign exchange impact of about $300 million. Growth in other automotive ancillary services, partly driven by an increase in FSD subscriptions. Higher vehicle average selling price, excluding foreign exchange impact, inclusive of mix impact. All right, so good to see that. You know, again, this is specifically talking about this quarter. So that suggests, again, Tesla is, of the vehicles that they sold, Tesla was able to get, you know, a good price and good margins on those vehicles. All right, so profitability, operating income decreased 11% year over year. This was driven by increase in stock-based compensation and restructuring and other charges, as we kind of suspected earlier. Increase in operating expenses, no surprise on that. Higher average cost per vehicle. So obviously if the ASP is higher, usually the cost is higher as your mix goes up, but also due to lower fixed cost absorption for certain models and increase in tariffs. This is, you know, something that's been consistent over the last at least couple of quarters. Decrease in vehicle deliveries, lower regulatory credit revenue, offset a bit by higher vehicle average gross profit due to mix and pricing impacts. Growth in energy, storage, generation services, and other, and growth in automotive ancillary services, as mentioned above. Cash flow we talked about, but sequential increase of $2.4 billion was primarily the result of positive free cash flow. All right, we made it. Let's flip over to Excel, and we'll fill out some of these numbers and then try to just do a quick summary of some of the thoughts here before we get into the earnings call, which again, there's a link for that down in the description. I will start that as soon as Tesla begins their call. Just a quick check here though, looks like Tesla still up about 3%, which I think is roughly where it was when we started reading that letter. So nothing too crazy in terms of the movement since then. All right, take a breath. Probably something I could do a little better job of, but that's all right. So flip over to Excel for everyone's favorite part, watching me fill out the spreadsheet. This will be better than earlier though, when I couldn't get the shareholder letter up. So not the most boring part of this episode, unfortunately. All right, so automotive sales, I'm gonna be doing flipping back and forth. I'm not gonna flip the stream back and forth, but just know that it's going on in the background. All right, so that was 17,693. You can compare there versus analyst consensus. So analysts were 2% low on automotive sales, which was down 11% year over year, compared to deliveries down 16%. So obviously, looks like ASP increasing, and we'll see that calculated here in a minute. Of which regulatory credits? So that was $542 million, not zero. So actually a pretty sizable number there, but still down 22% year over year. Q4, that might have been a high. I don't know. I guess we can just check that quick. Oops. All right. Yeah, that's why I didn't want to do this. Okay, so not an all-time high. Q4 was actually even down sequentially at that point last year. But still relatively high, especially compared to regulatory credits this year. Let me hide these again. Here we go. Okay, so we'll flip back. Energy, that was 38.37. All right, my mental math was off before. It wasn't $7 million difference. It was $12 million difference from the analyst forecast, but up 25% year over year. And then services and other was 3371. So within $5 million of the analyst consensus, this is probably the closest these two have ever been in combination in the history of these earnings reports. Okay, so that was up 18% year over year. Total revenue only down 3%, despite automotive revenue being down 11%. And regulatory credits being down 22%. If you had added those $150 million, you know, of regulatory credits that were there last year that weren't this year, that cuts this probably down to, you know, negative 2% year over year would be my guess. All right, automotive ASP, that'll calculate a little bit later. Let's look at auto profit here. So this will be minus 1408. Gives that $3.6 billion, which I think we had mentioned before. We'll double check that that all calculates correctly, though. And then energy generation and storage was 2739. Okay, so over $1 billion in energy profit is what it looks like, and up slightly quarter over quarter, even though revenues were up pretty significantly, so it looks like margins compressed. Down to 28.6% from 31.4%, but still very, very healthy margin there on energy storage. And then services and other costs of 3073, and that all maps out. So yeah, huge boost there in services and other. Makes sense, we're building off of a lower base, so we've kind of seen that pretty consistently for the last, I don't know, 8 quarters or so. All told, though, just over $5 billion. So gross profit barely down, even though you had deliveries that were down almost 16%, roughly 16%, since this is the year-over-year number, but quarter and year pretty similar there in terms of deliveries. All right, so looking at some of these margins, then automotive gross margin 20.4%, very strong. That's probably Tesla's best quarter in a while, certainly in the last year that we can see. Automotive gross margin X credits, best in over the last year. Energy gross margin, very healthy. Services and other, also very healthy. Let's go back and look at... Could have just left this on hidden, I guess. Alright, where did I... Okay. Nope. Man, we're going back a ways here. Q2 2023. All right. That's awesome. So best automotive gross margin X credits for Tesla since Q2 2023. That's fantastic. Probably every single quarter that we've had since Q2 23, I've been on this live stream talking about how this is going to be one of the first numbers that we look at. And it is always very important just to kind of like see, you know, how the health of that business is maintaining. Obviously, this is what's funding Tesla's, you know, expansion in AI and their production facilities in lithium and cathode and all of this other stuff that Tesla is working on. It's all paid for by this and now by energy as well, obviously. So really, really exciting to see that. Such a strong number there for Tesla. And also, you know, same story here, I imagine, on the top line. Once we include regulatory credits, that's actually the best since Q1 2023. So over a couple of years since we've seen a number this good. And it's also pretty surprising because Tesla did have that regulatory credit. Not to be confused with these regulatory credits, but because of the expiration of the EV tax credit in the third quarter, you would assume that that would create a lot of pressure on pricing and margins and all of that sort of stuff. And I'm not going to get too excited about this because I still think that that pressure may eventually come. But it may just be that Tesla is saying, all right, we're comfortable with this slightly lower delivery amount because we're going to net the same gross profit anyway. Generally, that's probably not what Tesla is doing, but it is nice to see that that's still sort of ending up to be the case. We'll see if they give any context around why those were so strong this call. But yeah, that's a really, really nice number there for automotive gross margin. That should give a lot of comfort to analysts that are kind of looking at, you know, again, this is the business line that right now provides for all the other stuff that Tesla wants to do. So for that to be healthy, that means that Tesla can kind of continue that and do it from a position of strength rather than a position of weakness. And that's really great for the business. So, you know, really nice to see that be so strong. And again, strong with that context as well. All right, so R&D, I guess I'll just leave that other stuff open for now. Well, yeah, that's why I don't, because it's all formatted correctly. There we go. All right, R&D, 1783, so kind of what I said I was expecting there. I won't reiterate my comments on that for the interest of time. SG&A at 1655. Yeah, so no surprise on kind of either of those lines. That's already $3.4 billion in operating expenses, and then another $162 for restructuring and impairment, so... Yeah, this is truly restructuring. So the Bitcoin impairment, that's like, it used to be on this line. Sorry, I think I confused myself on this earlier before the earnings report came out. This should just be restructuring and other charges now. Historically, though, the Bitcoin stuff went on that line. Then there was the accounting rule change, which then led to this line. So I think they are separate and clean, and we'll see what that looks like in a minute. But operating expenses then, clean at 3.6. Matches the earnings, and operating income 1409, that matches as well. And there you see the 5.7% operating margin, which is great on that lower revenue base to still maintain that sort of operating leverage that you saw there last quarter, which was also a pretty strong quarter for Tesla compared to the last couple. So yeah, I think a lot to be super happy with in this earnings report. All right, EBITDA, let's see where that went. That's 41.54. So echoing the comments there of just that still, you know, keeping pace with last quarter, even at lower volumes. GAAP net income. Oh, let's see here. So that was $840 million. And then we need to figure out stock-based comp. So that's 682. Would help if I filled it out correctly according to how I have labeled these things. So I'll fix that. All right, non-GAAP net income was 1761. 682. So we should be down to just $1.1 billion, so that must then be digital currency loss. Bitcoin not crushing. Yeah, so that's a 307. Maybe Bitcoin did crush in the fourth quarter, I don't know. Really depends on the timing of the accounting. So that was 307. Okay. That's still not fully correct. Oh, wrong line, sorry. Maybe not. Sorry, guys, one second. Kind of losing my mind here. Just want to make sure I've got this correct because it's the historical number is different than what I have in my sheet. Okay, there we go. So that's 239. All right, there we go. So that gets us to 840. All right, all checks out. So perhaps not anything. I don't know. We'd have to see in the stock-based compensation if, this larger increase is anything related to Elon. It probably is, would be my guess. And then there's a significant difference in digital asset change. Sounds like my recollection was just wrong. Oh, sorry, there's weird shadows going on. My recollection was probably wrong on just like the timing of the Bitcoin changes and things like that. But looks like that actually was an increase, which you net out of the non-GAAP, which is actually what you should be doing because obviously that's going to fluctuate. It doesn't actually provide meaningful bottom line income or anything like that to Tesla, even though that's how it's accounted for. So that'll boost the non-GAAP number. I think, though, the non-GAAP number should really factor that out. So you've got a bunch of weird stuff. The non-GAAP's too high from this Bitcoin gain. The stock-based compensation is also then higher than expected, which then drives the GAAP net income lower. Kind of a lot of confusing, conflicting factors there on the GAAP net income line. But I think we can confidently say, regardless of how all of that shook out with stock-based compensation, with digital asset fluctuation, all of that sort of stuff, you can already tell that this was a strong report from all of those previous lines. Particularly automotive gross margin, X credits being so strong, and that being driven by pretty solid ASPs, which we'll again calculate here in a second. So good to see that regardless of how this bottom line stuff is shaking out. But just to round this out, obviously at the end of the day, that ended up being, scroll back up here, 50 cents non-GAAP. 24 cents gap. Okay. Well, let's calculate our new PE. Always fun. So we went from trailing 12 month of $1.50 to now $1.08. And I think we're at 440 something. So we'll say 445 by 108. PE is now 412. That's up there. That's up there. A lot of work to do in terms of the other parts of the business that we expect to be the future of Tesla, obviously, need to start delivering profit to support that valuation at some point. But that is, what investors are that are investing in Tesla would be sort of betting on with that investment. Free cash flow. $1,420. So again, well above analyst expectations on free cash flow. All right, so that's all of this, and then let's quickly calc ASP stuff. All right, so these ones always take me a little bit longer to find. All right. Sorry, it's just a little harder in this one because it has all the annual report stuff too, so I'm just getting a little bit tripped up. Just a series of embarrassing moments on this one. Sorry, guys. All right, I think I finally tracked it down. Need to properly label my chart headers here. Do six, and then deliveries least. Almost there. Made it. All right, let's just look at that and make sure it makes sense. So yeah, so ASP's pretty significantly up, maybe $1,300 year over year, with cost down year over year, so margins would be improving, which we see reflected there and there, and even quarter over quarter. So you did have a decline quarter over quarter. I mean, we can just temporarily do some fudging there. So ASP down 2% quarter over quarter, and then cost down 4% quarter over quarter. So ASPs did decline, which is kind of more what I had been expecting, obviously with the EV tax credit going away. Tesla was able to control costs really well. Don't know how much of that would be, you know, sort of like random things that are outside of Tesla's control. Tariff impact, like that sort of stuff, especially on a quarter over quarter basis. It's so hard to know. Hopefully Tesla will share some more on that on the call. But down 4% in cost one quarter, obviously, you know, providing some really good margins here in Q4. So fix that. All right, well, we made it. Not the smoothest live stream of my life, but probably not the worst one either, so that's, I'll take it. We've got the earnings call coming up here in about 15 minutes. Again, the link for that is down in the description. I'll save sort of summary thoughts till after that. I want to make sure that I've got enough time to get that set up properly here. But hopefully I see all you guys on there. I do see some super chats here. I'll try to like make notes. I'm sure there's some questions in there. Let me just check that quick. I actually don't think any questions, but really do appreciate that, guys. I'll just throw some up on the screen here. John, awesome to see you here. Appreciate that. Warbird, awesome. Thank you. Some stickers, appreciate those guys. Jan saying it's a tradition, love it, awesome. All right, and thanks again, Mike, for emailing me that deck. Appreciate that. All right, we'll see you guys all in a little bit. Again, the link for that is down in the description, and we'll listen to the earnings call, hear what Tesla has to say. Overall, just like one sentence summary, though, I think pretty strong quarter here. A lot of it, we'll have to see how, you know, how that automotive cost decline came to be. That's an important factor, but I think the average selling price not falling too significantly, that's nice, and nice to see that Tesla's, you know, is able to get some pretty good operating leverage on that, even with the smaller base from fewer deliveries, and then obviously some health, really good signs of health with the other business lines as well. All right, and cool to see that metric being disclosed of FSD subscriptions and sales. I'll be looking forward to following that for many quarters to come. All right, we'll see you guys over there on the earnings call in a bit. Thanks.